ask for his blessing on our time and for guidance as we open his word. Heavenly Father, we do come to you and we give you thanks among the people and among the nation, for you are the great God and your love is so amazing that, Lord, it should be continually coming off of our tongue, praising you, raising your name up, so that all may know. Lord, we ask that you would be with us today, that as we gather here to sing praises to you and to study your word, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our eyes, and open our ears, that we may see, Lord, what you have laid out for us today. Father, we ask that you would be with us, that your healing, comforting touch would be on those who are sick and in need of healing. Lord, we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And God's people said, amen. I've been told by my production staff that I only have a limited area amount to move back and forth. So if you're watching on Facebook Live and all of a sudden I step to the left or the right and outside of that, please forgive me. It's not my intention to walk off stage, but it wasn't my intention to be on stage anyway. My passage this morning is out of the book of John, chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. I hope that you have your Bibles with you. If not, if you have it on your phone and you would take your phones out and do that, the Bibles have been removed from the sanctuary. Here is our passage. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. I want to start with a poem that was written by a man by the name of John McCrae. In Flanders fields the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still spring, bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, we felt dawn, we saw sunset's glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. As a young man growing up, I watched many westerns and, you know, the John Wayne, where the cavalry would go out and fame and glory was there. That is something that we teach our kids. And, you know, it's in the movies and it's throughout history. And maybe it's even something that's deep in our heart, this call to glory or to fame or to adventure. All the time we know that men have answered that call throughout the ages. Sometimes we answer it without understanding really the cost. I think of the great poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson, The Charge of the Light Brigade. And it talks about the guns to the left and the guns to the right, but the flags are flying and they ride and they're going to their glory. They get slaughtered. When we talk about these things, we fail to look at the reality. You know the thing about a movie that shows all the bloodshed and the even the reality of war now, the movies become more like that. That when the director says cut, those people get up. They're not really hurt. They don't really have legs missing. They get up and they go and they have a coffee and they wait till the next scene is set up for them. That's not how it is. War has a horrible toll. It's not God's plan that we would battle and kill one another and maim one another. Many of us, I read the poppies, I read that because of the fact that that started that movement that many of us will remember. You'll go to the store and you would see somebody selling the little poppies that came out of the great First World War. Well, tomorrow is Memorial Day. It started off shortly after the Civil War. The Civil War. So far back in our memory, we really fail to think about it. We think about Memorial Day, and it's just another day. For many of us, it's the start to the summer. It's a time for us to gather with family and friends and have a barbecue. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those are good things to do. It's great to gather with family and friends. But it is sad when we stop remembering what Memorial Day really is. Memorial Day, as I said, began after the Civil War. The Civil War. I love history, and so I've traveled around the country and looked at war memorials and war sites and battlefields and that. And you go there and you see the monuments. The monuments are for people that have fallen. We tell tales of things like Pickett's Last Charge, of the men stepping out and marching up the hill, marching into gunfire and dying. We forget to remember the people that are left behind, the families. And that is where Memorial Day came in, because it was an opportunity for families to go out to the cemetery, to remember lives that had been cut short, sometimes so young that there was all of life ahead of them. They would go there and they would remember them, and they would tend to the graves and decorate the graves. Originally, it was called Decoration Day. It's really not known where it started. There's so many different little stories that start up. 1968, the United States Congress acted to make it the last Monday in May 31st. It had been May 30th up until then. It was a day that they unified so that we could have a 3-day weekend. Okay. I'm not against 3-day weekends. But I want us to remember what is important, and that is to remember those who stood in the gap, who answered the call, who gave the greatest measure of all. That's why I think it's fitting to tell you a story of a man by the name of Jason Dunham. He was born in November of 1981 in a little town very similar, probably to Hinckley, about 1,800 people is what it said, a little town called Skio. It's located just north of the Pennsylvania border on the western edge over by Buffalo. He was a great athlete. It's amazing how many times when we read these stories we see their athletic endeavors come. But it's not his athletic endeavors I want to speak to you about this morning. You see, when Jason was a junior, he decided that he would enter into the United States Marine Corps through the delayed entry program. He went in and he served his first tour, completed his first contract, and was ready to get out. Then news came that his unit was going to be shipped to Afghanistan, because we were still in the thick of the Battle of Afghanistan at that time. Jason had done what he had supposed to have done. He completed his contract. He could have honorably just walked away. But that's not what he did. As the military says, he re-upped. He signed his re-enlistment papers to stay with his unit. I'm sure it probably worried his parents. One of his friends asked him, they said, "Jason, why? Why did you re-enlist? You know this unit is going to go over to Afghanistan." Jason replied, "I want to go to make sure that my friends make it home safely, their families." In April 2004, while serving in Afghanistan near the Syrian border, Jason and his squad intercepted a group of vehicles. And while they were searching the vehicles, one of the drivers jumped out and began to wrestle with Jason. While he was wrestling with him, Jason saw the man drop a grenade on the ground. He screamed out to his squad to take cover. And then without thinking, he took his helmet and he threw it on the grenade and laid upon his helmet. Because of his action, the men of his squad escaped serious injury. That's not what Jason bore. Jason suffered grievous injuries. Later that month, his parents stood by his bedside, facing a decision that I, as a parent, would never want to make, whether to remove their son from life support. The machines were keeping him alive, and they had to make that decision, and they did. They watched as the doctors removed him, and his life went away. On the 231st anniversary of the United States Marine Corps, at the opening of the U.S. Marine Hall of Museum, President George Bush honored Jason. He awarded him the Medal of Honor. It seems only fitting. By his selfless actions, Corporal Dunham had made good on his statement. He had said that he was going to ensure that his friends would come home to their families. And the men that were with him that fateful day, they did return. They returned home to their loved ones. The Medal of Honor is our nation's highest and most prestigious award. It is awarded to men like Jason who perform an act of valor, something beyond our beliefs, something that we look at and we marvel at. But Memorial Day is not just about Jason. It's about all the others. For there are all kinds of men and women who have served and have given, and they have not won the Medal of Honor. But they deserve our respect, our thanks. They deserve for giving to us the freedom that we enjoy. Washington, D.C. is full of memorials. If you've never been there, I recommend it highly. You just go from one to the another, one memorial to the other. And each one has a gravitas, a weight to them. But the one that I find the most moving, the most poignant, is the Vietnam Veterans War Memorial. Now, I don't have any friends that are on that memorial. I'm not of that age. But I've been there, and I have watched men walk up to the two granite slabs that are polished and engraved with the names of their friends. And I have seen them come up, and I have seen grown men break down and cry because of the ones who gave it all. Names that you and I may never know, but they knew them. They served with them, alongside them. Their families knew them. Their families loved them. It is fitting that we remember these people. It's fitting that we remember a man like Jason Dunham. But that's not why we gather here today. That's not to take anything away from Jason or those men and women. We gather here to remember another man. Sunday is a memorial day, a memorial day that we celebrate every day. And that's the memorial of a man who gave his life for many people, that is Jesus Christ. Let's just look again at our passage, and let me read it again. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. John 15, 12 and 14. Verse 13 is where I'm going to focus. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Lays down. When we talk about laying down, we mean that it's done voluntarily. That you are not forced into it. You are not tricked into doing it. You're not coerced into doing it. But that you do it of your own volition. It's a willful decision to go and do a course of action, knowing fully everything that is before you. Jason was a Marine. He had worked with grenades. He had thrown grenades. He knew what kind of damage they would cause. But yet, he willfully gave his life for his staff, for the men of his squad. He used his helmet, knowing that it really wouldn't protect him. We have been given new life. We've been given new life through the selfless action of one man. Like Jason, he knew what lay before him. The Bible says that he had said many times, it is not my day, but then there came a day when he set his face towards Jerusalem. He knew what lay before him. He could have stayed in Galilee. He could have stayed in the hinterlands and teaching and preaching and healing. But that was not his mission. His mission was to come for one reason. His mission was to come to die on the cross. He was born to die. Think about that. You know the story. Before the very foundations of the earth, well, before God had even done a single act of creation, he determined that he was going to send his Son to save sinners like me. We know it. We know the course. We've read the story. We know that it started in a manger, and then it wound through the hills, and then it came into Jerusalem with great acclaim and singing and praising. But then it led through Jerusalem, and it led to a cross on a hilltop outside the city. We know that he struggled. We know, because it says in the Bible, that as he sat in the garden, the weight came upon him and it caused him to cry out, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." He had that point right there. He could have stopped. "Remove this cup from me." But that's not what he did. "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Christ willingly chose the cup. Not his cup, but my cup. And we've talked about that before. He decided to accept the task that had been assigned to him throughout eternity, to go to the cross. For me, for you, for anyone who might put their faith in him. Please understand, I am not seeking to limit what Corporal Dunham gave to his fellow Marines. But he gave them a great gift. He gave them a life, an opportunity to go home. But what Jesus Christ did for us is even greater measure than what Jason did for his squad that day. Unlike the sacrifice of Jason that day, Christ on that cross, the action that he took is not just right there to those who are around him. That action goes forward in history and it comes up and it grabs me and it grabs you if you're willing. What great news! He gave his life for every man, woman, and child through eternity. That's why I'm here today, to let you know about that. You remember a game called Family Feud? Remember there would be two people and they'd be standing there and they would try to beat each other as they would guess something that had a question, the answer that had been given by the studio audience, and it would be ranked and whoever got the highest one got to play the whole question out. Imagine for a moment if you we're playing Bible Family Feud. And you have two people standing here. What would be the verse that would get the most response? John 3:16, probably. Most people, even those who are not saved, who are not Christians, know John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Think about that. He loved the world, a world in rebellion, but he loved it so much that he sent his Son. Why? It says here, because whoever believes in him can have eternal life. God didn't limit it. There's no little question marks around who can be there. It's available to anyone. 1 Timothy 2:4 says the same thing. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. All men. In John 1:12, it says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Three verses, and they all convey the same idea. Two of them use the same word, the word all. All. I want you to say it with me. Say the word all. No, come on, you can say better than that. Say all.
All.
That's right, all. I want you to say it because of this. I want you to say it because I want you to understand it means everybody. It means you, me, it means anybody. It means the blackest, hardest heart person is allowed to call Jesus Christ Lord when they come to him. And he will not turn them away. Jason was a soldier. He was in a battle. We don't think of Jesus Christ as a soldier, but he was in a battle. He's in a battle for your soul. Satan is standing beside you, and Satan is telling you that you are not good enough, that this is not you, that all has some clarifying to be done, that there's little structures on the side. You have to read the fine print. Satan doesn't want you to believe what God said. God said it very clearly, all. Satan wants you to think that it means everybody else but you. And we eat that up. We want to think that we are too bad. God says, no. There is none too bad if you come to me. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works. That's Ephesians 2, 8, 9. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to work for it. That means you don't have to read your Bible for it, really. That doesn't mean I'm not wanting you to read your Bible. It doesn't mean you shouldn't come to church, but church doesn't earn you a spot in heaven. It says very clearly that what we get is this gift, and we get it through faith, and faith alone. Sola fide. It's one of the five solas that founded the Reformation. Eternal salvation belongs to Jesus Christ, and he is willing to give it to you if you will come to him and acknowledge his name. Romans 5, 15 and 18, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift, isn't that amazing? Free gift, free gift, free gift. This isn't a late night TV commercial. This isn't that. This is a truth. This is in the Bible. It's a free gift. The free gift is not like the result of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. And here it is again. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Free gift, free gift, free gift, free gift. Do you get the idea? Free gift. Free gift. We go back and we look at John. It says, and all who believed in his name, all, get that free gift. It's a gift. God is giving it to you. Freely. Do you want it? Do you want it? Then come and partake of it. He's not holding it back. He's here. He's giving it to you. I know that there are people today that are listening to us. There might even be people within our church. So often we think that everybody that shows up at church is saved. Some of us come just for because of the fact that it's something we've always done. We want to make sure that you understand. Coming to church does not make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's it. That's it. It's not a prayer. That prayer doesn't do it. Not unless that prayer is heartfelt. Not unless that prayer comes from in here. You can say a prayer, you can say all kinds of words, but unless that prayer is based out of your heart and the faith that you understand who He is and what He says. That prayer is just words. But when you pray that prayer and it is in your heart, that prayer has the power of God behind it. Because at that time, when you say those words, the heavens rejoice. Around the throne of God, the heaven realms break forth with hallelujah, for another soul has been saved. And there is nothing that brings greater joy to the heavenly realms than another soul that is saved. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, if you'd like to, then call me. Stop by the church. Visit with me. I'd love to talk with you. I'd share you my story about how He took my heart, a hardened heart, a dark heart, a heart that was so far away that He brought me to a place where I now say, hallelujah, what a Savior. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Let us close our time in the Word with a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that You have offered a gift to us. And Lord, we know that there are many that are searching. Father, touch their hearts. Draw them to You, that they may know Your Son, that they may know the life that He is giving here today and throughout eternity. And it is in His blessed name we say, amen.
My Savior leads me. Who am I to ask beside? How could I doubt His tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads. Choose each winding path I tread. It gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to Your heart, and surely Your goodness and mercy will follow me all the way my Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of His love, oh, the sureness of His promise, in the triumph of His blood, with my spirit clothed in mortal, wings its flight to realms of song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to Your heart, and surely Your goodness and mercy will follow.
Well, again, we want to thank you for being with us today, whether you are on WCMP or on Facebook Live. I want to let you know that we will have men's meeting Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. We will also be having our teaching time via Facebook Live on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. So join us at one of those times. Let me close with this reading out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May God be with you.